I'm really excited about this segment because joining us is one of my primary mentors, second to my father, Mr. Steve Riddell. And we kind of had an interesting start.
We did.
It was pretty neat. Our families kind of heard about each other through some mutual friends.
Right.
And we came down and visited you all. And the reason was a little bit of business and a little bit because maybe my brother was interested in your daughter.
I think more the second than the first, but that's right.
So we did a couple days of some of your business training and some of your sales training. Mm-hmm. And then I think it was about 4 months later that I got my first sales job.
Right.
Totally clueless about sales. And I called you up and said, help! What did you think the first time I called you?
Well, you know, I have done these kinds of things with other people before, but I was very excited about it. Anytime you take somebody new in sales, it's always exhilarating. So the thing I look for is somebody who really wants to, and you had a ton of desire and you wanted to, and so it seemed like a good fit. Knew you real well, so that even helped. You know, it's not that I wouldn't work with somebody who I didn't know very well, but knowing you and knowing family and being kind of connected family-wise, it made it even better.
Talk about some of the different kinds of mentoring relationships that you had had. Some were good, I'm assuming, some were not so good.
Well, no, I think most of the ones I've had are good, but I've always had the privilege of being able to work with really good people.
Why?
I don't know. I guess they just attracted. I don't know. Dean Menuto is one of my ex-partners. We used to partner in consulting. He was rather young. A friend of mine introduced us together. We began to start talking and comparing notes. And he asked if he could tag along with me to go to some consulting things. I think right now he makes easily $500,000 a year at this point. So seeing the success of some of these ones that I've helped has really been helpful. My son-in-law's business, I helped them get started in the cabinet making business up in Washington. Mm-hmm. So there's been a number of ones along the way. But I, you know, when I was younger, in my teens and 20s, I would coach Little League softball, so I did a little baseball. That's what I did. Mm-hmm. So I always had a heart for young men. I've never had any young men of my own. I have four daughters, but I figure it can always be something that I can help other people.
Yeah. Okay, so let's jump into our experience.
All right.
I mean, from my perspective, I was totally clueless. Was I as clueless as I think I was?
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, you know, everybody comes with some raw material, right? And I think you had raw material. I think but you were a quick study. And I think that's one of the big things that makes the difference is even if you seem clueless, if you can become a quick study about what it is you're asking the person to do, it really helps the mentor to really be able to help you because they go, whoa, this guy's getting it. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have to keep going over and over and over, not that that's bad, but I had the benefit of you being a very quick study.
Okay, so we started in, I think the first conversation I said, so what do I need to do on my first sales call? And if I remember correctly, you gave me some definite things, but you didn't give me a whole lot at the beginning.
No.
What was your strategy with that?
Well, you know, there's a book called Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And the premise of the book, at least at the beginning, is to establish a mastermind alliance. And that's what you were doing. It follows the line of thinking that if I give it to you immediately, you probably won't absorb it. But if you seek it, then the more you seek it, the more you will absorb it. So if I give it to you in small bits, but I give it to you in a way that causes you to want to know more, you'll keep coming back for more. If I just completely open it and just give everything to you, there's nothing more to come back for. And you'll think, not that you would, but you'll think that you now know it all, and the likelihood is it probably won't do well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I remember some of those first sales calls.
Yeah.
And I would actually record those.
Right.
And send them to you.
Yes.
And you would listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would get on the phone. And what I recall is something like you chewing me up and spitting me out 10 minutes later. What did you think when you listened to one of my first sales calls? Like, what were my main issues with sales?
Well,
you must have been horrified.
Well, no, I'm not horrified because I'm in sales. So I hear thousands of people make bad calls. So, you know, it was one of these things where you were making typical mistakes that most people do. And
like
talking, you know, just completely talking about is all product oriented. And, you know, like if I just talk the person to death, life will be okay. I think the hard thing for anyone to do, and it's just not you, but anyone, is to ask questions as opposed to making statements. And we think because we get passionate about what we do and we get passionate about the product, then all of a sudden we just want to talk about it. It has nothing to do with that in selling. It has mm-hmm. everything to do with finding out what the person's needs are. So listening to a call, I don't think you were doing anything that was so abhorrent that I was ready to fall off the chair.
I was swearing at the customers.
You were just talking them to death.
Right.
And if I could get you to quit talking them to death and really focus on the customer, it would really make a big difference.
So how did my development progress from your perspective?
I thought it went well. You would have known it if it hadn't.
Oh, I did feel like I knew it didn't go well at times.
Well, there were times I think that you had to go back to the drawing board. But for the most part, I believe you were a quick study and really tried to put things into application. Were you successful at it all the time? No. But I think you were most of the time. And at least if I have raw material to deal with, then I can begin to build upon it. But if I have to continue to be at the base level of things, it really doesn't progress real well. And mm-hmm. I think that's where young men have a big problem.
Really?
Is they don't begin to start understanding things at the base level. They want to go from here to here, and they want to do it quick. And it's not a quick process. You know that. Mm-hmm. It's a step-by-step process. And the thing that's made the difference for me, especially with you, is if I gave you something, at least I saw progress in you putting it in practice.
And
if you
and put it in practice. How important was that to you for you to want to continue investing
in me? I wouldn't have.
Why?
Because I would know you weren't serious. I just wouldn't. I'm a busy guy. You know, I do a lot of things. It isn't that I wouldn't take time for you if you were seeking the relationship out. But if I was giving you things and you weren't putting it into practice and you weren't doing something with it, I would tell you, mm-hmm. don't call me again until you put it into practice. And when you have, come back.
Right.
But that didn't occur, which okay. I was very happy to see.
Okay. So a couple of things that you've talked about. You didn't give it to me all up front. You gave it to me in bite-sized pieces
right.
that made me keep wanting to come back.
That's correct.
That's another thing. You didn't really pursue the relationship very much till 2 years into the process?
No, that's right.
Why?
Well, I don't know if I sat down and thought about it. It's just, I think it's kind of my nature. I'm a straight shooter with most people. Most people never accuse me of beating around the bush. So it's one.
No, it doesn't.
But the thing that I think was interesting for me is once I begin to see progress and I see a person really interested and really pursuing, they're really serious about it, that's when it begins to be something where I say, okay, it's now time to get vested. I think there's a period of time for mentors that they need to look at a young man and not accept the fact that they're all excited about something. You were excited about what you were doing, but I wasn't sure whether you were really serious about it. Mm. And there's a difference between being excited and serious. Mm. And it's the serious side that I think makes a difference. If I'm going to invest time in somebody else other than my family, it has to be worth it.
Yeah.
And for me, that's the way I look at it. Because I don't have a lot of time. So if I'm going to spend the time to do it, I need to make sure that it's going to be something with a serious young man.
I think one of the reasons that I became serious about it is because I saw the results of what happened when I applied what you taught me. I mean, within the first year, even though I was the youngest person on the sales team, I was the highest performer.
Oh, it was just amazing.
And I think it hit me, wow, I don't have to be terribly experienced. I just got to follow this secret sauce that Mr. Adele is giving me.
Yep.
But I think for some young men, they want to improve upon the system too quickly. Do you think that's the case?
I do.
What have you seen?
Well, I've seen it all over the map. When I train thousands of people around the country, and what they always want to do is they want to take what I would term a best practice, and they think, oh, well, I don't like that. I'll just do this. And they have no basis of knowledge or skill to be able to do that. I don't want to impart knowledge. What I want to do is raise skill levels. For me, philosophy around skill is if skill goes up, performance goes up. If skill goes up, problems come down. So it's one thing to raise a person's knowledge level, and that's not
what
I was doing.
Which is kind of what college does.
That's right. College does that, and I think some mentors do that. I think mentors take the approach that they're going to, if I pour knowledge into you, somehow that will work. It's not about knowledge. Knowledge helps because it keeps you from looking stupid, right?
Okay.
You don't want to get on the phone
and look stupid. Not entirely in my case, but.
You don't want to get on the phone and look stupid. But skill takes that knowledge and gives you the ability to be able to have it come out of your mouth in a way that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And for me, that is where skill levels really take off. So if you're going to understand that, you've got to understand some of the foundational aspects of why certain things work. Not that they work, but why do they work? Hmm. I was a great salesperson for a long period of time, but I had no clue about why certain things worked.
Right.
I just knew that any time I did it, it worked.
Right.
And that's all a mentee needs to know. Just do it, and it'll work. And then, when you get success with it, what will you want to know?
Why?
Why? That's exactly right. And so if I can get you to do it, then you'll come back and go, ah, it worked. Okay, now let's talk about why did it work. Hmm. And it resonates so well that at that point it becomes a skill. Because now you just don't know what worked, but you also have this beautiful understanding about why, which very few people do.
And it's important for the mentoree to seek the why out.
Absolutely.
Not just the what, but the
absolutely.
Why.
Absolutely. But not to give it too quick.
Mm-hmm.
If you give it too quick, they won't get it. Nobody
from
gets
a mentor
the why.
Perspective.
Absolutely. Nobody right. gets it. They need to execute first. And once they execute and get success with it, then when you come back with a why, it all makes sense.
Hmm. Okay. One of the things that I think the why was helpful for me mm-hmm. is because a couple of years into my sales job with College Plus, they were asking me to start training some of the
other
salespeople.
Oh, I know. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It was great. But that's what happens when a mentee listens and applies and deals with somebody who has some expertise in that. Because you were the youngest guy. You'd never done this before. What happened all of a sudden? The organization is now coming to you and going, how are you doing it? And now they put you in a position.
Because they knew
training.
It couldn't be me.
Oh, no. Absolutely, that's not true. They knew it was. But the side benefit of all this, and I think this is interesting to figure out, is I wound up training the entire College Plus team.
I think what you hit on is one way that a mentee can provide value to the mentor. Because if the mentee is really successful at applying mm-hmm. what they've learned from the mentor, that can reflect back on the mentor and possibly, through the mentee's networking, open up some opportunities for the mentor.
Absolutely. I mean, it's not the reason why I do it, but it has provided some opportunity. But I think beyond that, I think what mentors need to understand is if there was this armada of young men who were really serious about this, they would seek out people who were experts, and they would begin to start understanding some things that they know. And we could raise up an entire generation of Christian young men who were really experts in a variety of things. And if we did that, they could literally change the world.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So not everybody's going to have the same maybe sort of philanthropic perspective about mentoring other young men that
probably
you have.
Not. Probably not.
So what does the mentee need to do to bring value to the mentor?
Well,
Because it's not just would you give. At some point, there's going to have to be a little bit of an exchange.
Well, it helps if you have puppy dog eyes like you. I mean, you know. I mean, you look at me, you go, please, please, please. Okay, you know. So if you've got a great face and you have these sad eyes, you know, somebody will help you, right? I don't know. You know, it's one of these things where it's all in the way it's approached. Let me tell you about a guy, Nathan Servin.
Okay.
We were doing some filming at the film festival on some of these mentor relationship talks. And he heard it, and he calls me up, and he says, I happen to be in Houston. Could I stop by and visit with you? I'm doing some work in financial services. I'd love to pick your brain about some things. I said, sure. And he met me for coffee. And in 3 hours, we were able to talk about some things that he could take home and apply right away. And you know what? It was kind of an interesting story because a month later, I decided I'm going to go to a barista training. I don't know why I decided to do that, but I thought I'd go do it. I wind up in Houston. I can't find a hotel room. I look in my iPhone, and I think, who do I know in Austin? And the only person I knew, and I met him one time, was Nathan Servin. So I call him up and say, look, dude, I'm going to be homeless tonight. Could you put me up? And he puts me up, and we talk, and he tells me in the conversation the next morning that his brother's looking for a job. I said, well, have him get in touch with me. We're hiring right now. And right here at this place, I was able to offer him a job. And that one little seek out of a relationship wound up making his brother between $30,000 to $60,000, depending on how well he does. Hmm. Now, you know, I don't know that's value to me. But when I look at that kind of thing, number one, I got value from being able to hire a really good guy.
Right.
His brother
and getting
gets
a nice
value.
Sleep instead exactly. of staying on the street.
Exactly. I mean, so it's a symbiotic relationship, I think, that happens. And does a mentor grow by the relationship he has with a mentee? Absolutely. I think I'm a better person because of our relationship than I was before. But I if it brings frustration to me, then that's going to be a bad thing. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be frustrated. I don't want you to be frustrated. And the way I'm going to get frustrated is if I tell you what to do and you don't go do it, and then you keep wanting more and you haven't done what I talked to you about, that's going to bring frustration.
Lest everybody that's watching this think that I was this amazing mentee all the way through the process.
No.
Had some interesting experiences with me. I think one point in the relationship, your nickname for me was Whiny. So how did you see my character develop through the process?
You know, it's always great when you see maturity go up. You know, it really is. And I don't know that I would put you in the immature realm, but we all have immaturities, right?
Right.
We act mature. I'm always fascinated by how we can be mature and immature in the same body. You know, but to watch a young man mature and gain skill, and with skill levels going up, maturity tends to grow. I think it's the way in which we approach our immaturities that really get the best of us. And you know, if we're used to complaining or taking periods of time when we hit brick walls and we can't find a way around them and we throw up our hands and we get all frustrated and all upset, that I think that's part of being a guy. But how we handle that, I think, is really important. Yeah. And I think a mentor's job is to bring a sense of reality. Are you going to fall down sometimes? Yes. Are you going to get yourself hurt sometimes? Yes. It's not so much that these things happen. It's our response to what happens that makes the difference. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was interesting to see your response and then help guide the response back into a way that would work for you rather than getting you all frustrated.
Yeah.
And I think you got more frustrated with things because they weren't really working for you like you thought they should. Mm-hmm. And there were reasons for that.
And you helped me see what those reasons were.
We had to work through those reasons, yeah.
So one of the things that I think we all believe this mentoring relationship is important is because it's something that can be really powerful. But for it to be powerful, there has to be some amount of longevity.
No, absolutely.
How long into the process of our mentoring relationship did you feel that I really actually started to get it? I mean, how long did it take for me to actually get it? Where you would consider he can swim. He doesn't need me holding him up.
I would say I started getting inklings of that early on, but most likely about a year. Mm-hmm. I would say right about a year. And even with some of the, I mean, you had good success first year.
Sure.
You really did. But I don't think you got really all the elements that we'd been working on until after that. Mm-hmm. I think it began to all sink in. And the why part is the harder part
right.
to deal with. Why? And you had to hear it over and over and over again. I mean, it just didn't happen when we were on the phone, if you remember. I mean, I came out and did training. You heard me speak. I mean, there were lots of ways you heard it. And I think being exposed to those kind of things over and over again really had a big effect. Mm-hmm. And you began to start understanding it in ways that I think most people didn't because they hadn't invested the time and energy to really study it. I think the thing that I appreciated about you more than anything else was the fact that you were not only a quick study, but you had a desire to want to know more about it. Why
yeah.
do these things work? And I think that's the insatiable appetite that I've had all my life. Why, I don't want to know just why that it works. I want to know why. Because if I know why, then I can help other people
right.
understand it.
You saw me get the opportunity to actually teach some of these things that you had taught me to
absolutely.
The other people in the sales organization.
Yeah.
Did you see a peak or an improvement in my own understanding of the concepts as a result of having taught them?
Oh, I just sat back with a smile on my face. I mean, you know, it was great. Anytime you can teach it, you know that there are elements of it that you really do possess. Now, you know, all this kind of stuff is a progression of time, right?
Sure.
And we never really reach true expertise.
Exactly.
There's things I don't know still, and I still pursue them. But, you know, it's that level of expertise. I call it the Peter Principle. You know, and the Peter Principle says everyone rises to their own level of incompetency. So, you know, you had reached a level of incompetency in your life. And what you were able to do by working out the details was raise your level of incompetency. Now you know more.
And that's what a mentor helps you do.
That's right.
Because everybody has a certain amount of natural ability.
That's right.
And the temptation is just to ride that capital of natural ability until you end up, like you say, Peter Principling out.
That's right.
And the mentor helps you know what you don't know, you don't know.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. There's that third dimension that is the things I don't know that I don't know that I don't even know where to look. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm pretty good with the things I know, pretty good about the things I don't know. But that third dimension really comes into play, and that's where people make the biggest mistakes. I know I did. I went off to sell. I had no clue about things I didn't know I didn't know. I just knew that some things worked. Mm-hmm. And it worked so well in selling insurance that I made good money.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden, it came and blew up right in my face. Because I was scaring people to death when I was selling insurance. And after a while, people hated it. It was working. I was making money. But all of a sudden, when I started getting cancellations and I had to start paying money back because I've been advanced commissions and all this kind of stuff, whoo.
Yeah, to reevaluate.
It really almost takes you.
I was hoping you would bring up expertise.
Okay.
Because that's one of the things that you've talked to me about.
Right.
You have a saying with regards to expertise.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us about that.
Well, I have a firm belief that says if you become an expert at whatever you do, people will beat a path to your door. And I say this over and over and over again to you. And I don't know that you got it to begin with, but I certainly know that you saw evidence of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because what people started doing is you became more of an expert at what you were doing. People were beating a path to your door. You were getting speaking opportunities. You were getting training opportunities. You were getting mentoring opportunities. And this, to me, is clear evidence, you know, that skill levels are being raised, because nobody seeks that out unless they witness that in an individual. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the kind of thing that really is helpful, and especially for a young man. I mean, a young man who possesses that becomes a novelty,
mm-hmm.
you know, because most people don't see that. And then it even becomes better for them.
Is there really an opportunity for a young man, for example, to actually leverage his young age?
I think so. I think the youthfulness of a young man comes out very quickly if he doesn't have any skill levels that he possesses. You know, I see young men all the time with tons of want to, and I love that. I mean, they have lots of desire, lots of want to, but their actions and the things that come out of their mouth demonstrate they have no clue about what they're talking about.
Uh-huh.
And then people say, well, he's young. I think Paul told Timothy, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but do what? Set an example. And that's what you have to do. You have to really study your craft and begin to set an example for the believers in life and in spirit and in love and all the things you do. But if you become a novelty, people expect a young man to be immature. And when he speaks with expertise and he acts in a mature fashion, and what he has to say really resonates, all of a sudden they think, oh, I got to have my son listen to him.
Right.
And it changes the way it works,
because
there's so few of them out there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk about one other thing, and that is, what does the mindset of a mentee need to be throughout their whole relationship for this to actually really pan out?
Well, I think two things. Well, maybe three. Because people ask me all the time when I'm hiring people, what are you looking for? And I say two things. Someone with a brain and somebody with a heart. And I would add a third dimension, which is humility.
Hmm.
It's going to be a rough road if you don't have a thick skin. It just is. You know this. I mean, if you get offended easy, if you can't take straight talk, if you can't take someone who cuts through the chaff and tells you just like it is, it's going to be tough for you. But, you know, there's the brain and the heart, I think, are really important for me, because it's a heart to want to serve other people, a heart that wants to accept the things that are being taught, knowing that I have their best interest at heart and I wouldn't share something that wasn't true. You know, a heart for customers, a heart for people, and then the brain to go figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of these things where I can't do the work for you. You were in Washington. I was in Texas. I mean, the only time we had to talk was really over the phone. I see some of these mentor-mentee relationships where the guys actually live with the mentor. I think that's great, but that ain't going to happen for me. Because, right. I mean, there's times when it just will never happen. So the distance played a big part in it, but your ability to be able to take what we had to say, go off and work with it, and then come back and demonstrate
mm-hmm.
that you had, oh man, it just changes everything in terms of how I feel about it. Because now it's not a job. Now it's fun, it's interesting, I feel like what my time that I've invested is worth something. And when you start seeing that happen with a number of young men, you look back with great satisfaction. You go, okay, mm-hmm. that's what it's all about. just like you do with the kids.
How important was it that I was actually applying what you were teaching me? In other words, I actually had a job.
Yes.
While we had our mentorship, where I was in a very real-time fashion, taking what we were discussing on the phone calls, applying it the next day.
Yeah.
How important is that?
I don't think you would have ever gotten it if you hadn't. I really don't. You would have gotten some things, honestly. You would have gotten the theory.
But not the skill.
No. I just don't see a skill level ever coming up. We've tried this at my company. For 6 weeks, we would take people and just let them observe somebody else on the phone. And guess what they knew after 6 weeks?
Nothing.
Even though they had been trained a lot. So it's the practical application. I think it's more of not understanding the theory, but going and using the theory and getting beat up a little bit.
Yeah.
I think I told you early on, I hope the first time you apply this, somebody just like rips into you. Because then you've got a decision to face. Am I going to do this again or am I going to quit?
Right.
And I think that's a very important part of the process. It's something that is so connected to what you're trying to learn that then once you do that, the skill levels can grow rather rapidly.
I think one of the most exciting things about our relationship is that over the last year, instead of me always having to be the one to call you, now you call me.
Well, I'm interested in how you're doing.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What changed?
Well, you know, anytime you are working closely with somebody, I think, you know, there's a love relationship that grows. Mm-hmm. And I'm interested in what you're doing at this point. I really am. Mm-hmm. And every time we talk, I don't have to think real hard. You know, I really don't. I mean, I'm interested in, okay, now that you know some things, what's happening in your life? What is happening? And you always have great things to share. And I can relish in that myself and knowing that, wow, he's really coming along. He's really getting it. And it's exciting for me to sit and watch.
And I can't thank you enough.
Well, you know, I appreciate the desire because I think, you know, one of the things we don't have is we don't have really solid young men who really are skilled and really who are experts in some things. And I think, you know, if you can gain this now, I look at it and go, man, if I had known some of this stuff when I was your age, whoo, what could I have done with that? You got it. And if you can now take it and invest in other people, which I'm excited about what you're doing in this mentor program, I think it's extremely important. Mm-hmm. And if there are fathers out there that don't understand how to do certain things, there are people who do. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It's all about asking. You ask, that's one thing, and people will generally respond. But if you've got a young man who's not serious about it, you're going to waste a great opportunity.
Close with two things for the audience.
Okay.
A, how do you get your first mentor? And B, how do you get your first opportunity?
Okay. I think, first of all, you have to look at the life and the character of the person you're wanting to seek out. What is their life like? Jesus said, by your fruits you shall know them. And I think by their fruits you will know who they are. But I think it's more, do you see a real understanding about expertise in their life rather than do they know just how to do something? Because not all people who know how to do something make great mentors because they don't. Many times they don't know why they do certain things. And that's kind of hard to do.
It's not evaluated experience.
No. So somebody who's really applying that with other people and you see it happening is always a good place to start. And I think that's a great place. Your first opportunity, I think networking is one of the greatest areas to get opportunity. Nathan's brother, Benjamin, would never have had the opportunity to come to work for my group had Nathan not networked with me. It just works that way. And I think too many young people are not willing to walk up to somebody and introduce themselves and chat about what that person does to find even out things. I go into these homeschool conferences all the time, and very rarely do I have a young man come up and want to engage me in what it is I do and how do I do it. Now, if I speak, it becomes easy because then they think, oh, okay, now it's easy for me to come up. But how about unsolicited, just walking up and talking to people?
Yeah.
How many young men have business cards? Why not? Mm-hmm. How many young men already are in business, but they don't even have a letter of recommendation from a customer where they've done actually great work?
So is it as simple as, hi, my name is Danny Craig. I have some background in sales. Let me know if you know of anybody that needs a salesperson. I mean, what is this?
No. I think it's, hi, my name is Steve Riddell. What is it that you do and how do you do it?
And then how does that get me an opportunity?
I think if you ask great questions about what the person does, who he is, remember, it doesn't matter about you.
Yeah.
I as the mentor don't care about you. I do, but you know, I don't. You know what I want to do? I want to talk about me. And if you engage me in a conversation about me, who I am, what I do, how do I do it? Oh, that's interesting. Well, you know, have you ever considered teaching that to someone else?
Yeah. But I mean actually a job opportunity.
Oh, many times job opportunities come when you least expect them. But it's one of these things where if you know people, then as you develop your expertise, then you can go back to the people you know and solicit their help. Again, Think and Grow Rich talks about a mastermind alliance, surrounding yourself with people who are smarter than you, who know more than you, and you know what? You can access that information from them and they can help you. There's a book out called Influence, The Psychology of Persuasion. And it's all about how do I gain influence over people in such a way that they willingly will go in my direction. And if you read the book, Principle of Reciprocity, okay? People are more likely to respond in kind to the things they've been given.
Yeah.
Right? Send a Christmas card out to somebody. What are you most likely
to
get back?
Keep it simple.
A Christmas card, okay? So if we understand the principle of reciprocity, then we ask ourselves, okay, what can I give somebody with no expectation of return, but the understanding that people are more likely to respond in kind? And it happens all around us. But most people don't know the principles, and without the principles, they don't know how to apply them.
So how would that get me an opportunity? What could I give to you as a potential mentor that would get me an opportunity?
You could give me an opportunity. Like, you could come up and say...
I mean, I'm 16 years old. What opportunity can I possibly give
you? What if you met somebody that needed help in sales training? And you knew that that's what I did.
Because I had already been networking.
Yes.
Yeah. Develop expertise.
Right.
Develop your network. And the opportunities.
Right. And then if you're smart enough to get a 10% referral rate for it, that would even be better.
Thanks so much.
Hey, my pleasure.
All right.
It's been great.
All right.